Welcome to Whiskey Shenanigans. I'm your host, Randy Warren. Whiskey Shenanigans, where we help our listeners experience the world of whiskey, every aspect of life, as if it was accompanied by a glass of bourbon. The sports world on whiskey. Basically every part of life on whiskey. Whiskey Shenanigans is about getting exclusive interviews from Bourbon Row in Kentucky, where we can learn about the secrets that make our favorite bourbons unique. We will get inside the hearts and minds of many distillers and help you understand what and how they are achieving it. Whiskey Shenanigans is about going beyond boring podcasts featuring just tastings. Heck, what do you get out of that anyway? It's about bringing on guests and experiencing the entire world through whiskey. But be warned, if you're diving in and you want to participate in these riveting discussions, you will need to grab a glass or a dram and be prepared to be entertained. I'm very excited today to have Misty Blue Stewart with us, and we're going to learn a little bit about her and what she's been up to. And she was just telling me offline that she had a big event last night. So tell us a little bit about that, Misty.
So we collaborated with Liquor Lab. There are a couple locations, one in Nashville, one in Louisville, and they have master mixologists. So they did a bourbon plus filming session. So all of our attendees actually got to be on camera.
Cool.
Yeah, we got to make all these cocktails and teach them how to shake and stir and some history about whiskey, which was cool. And we launch our YouTube channel at the end of the month for Bourbon Month. So they're going to get a chance to see themselves on our YouTube channel. So that's cool.
Cool. People love that. Yeah. What were you like teaching, or what were you participating? What were you doing?
I was just a fly on the wall, actually. My days of teaching cocktailing are long gone. So
I have a problem with teaching cocktails, I guess, because I know what I like. And so I like to make that, and I'm good at it. Like, I've perfected the old fashioned the way I like it. Yeah. But you know, I'm not so good at, like, my wife's like, well, can you make me a, you know, espresso martini or something? I'm like, yeah, I'll give it a shot.
I'll follow the rules, but I'm not going to, my heart's not in it.
It may not be that good, but we'll try.
My joke is that my favorite cocktail is whiskey in a glass. The glass is what makes it a cocktail.
So. There you go. That's a good one. I like that. So just drink it neat, especially if it's a good whiskey. That's really nice. That's what I really like. I like to get my hands on a good 110 proof, you know, nice dark whiskey and like, oh, it's got complex layers and everything like that. But anyway, so you are in Nashville?
Yep.
Is that right? So how long have you been in Nashville? Did you grow up there?
Oh, good Lord. No. I was a Navy brat. So I lived a lot of places, primarily California, there at the end of my father's career. So, but I've been here in Nashville for a little bit more than half my life. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And you're planning on sticking around. You like it there. What do you like about Nashville? I've been there a bunch of times. I love it. I mean, I you probably are sick of all the bars and the honky tonks and stuff, right? I don't, maybe not.
Well, before coming to Bourbon Plus, I was with Brown-Forman.
Okay.
I worked for Brown-Forman for quite some time, and I was, air quotes, the fun governor. I ran a lot of the on-premise activations, moments. That includes the Titans and the Preds and the bars. And so I have had quite a bit of my fill of the party scene, if you will, here in Nashville. But it's still near and dear to my heart because, you know, what other city can you really walk into any bar at any time of the day, get a good whiskey and listen to some live music? So sometimes we take that for granted being locals, but I mean, it's still precious.
One of the ones I that just opened is the new Kid Rock place. Have you been to the new Kid Rock place?
No, I have not. We wanted to have a little happy hour with the new Brown-Forman team here in Nashville, but I wasn't able to make it out that day. We had a different event. We were filming a blind tasting panel here, so.
Right. Oh, cool. Yeah. So he opened a new place, like a steakhouse, really fine dining, you know, totally opposite of the honky tonk that he's had there, which is probably one of the biggest and best ones in Nashville, right there on the corner. Down by the river. So I love his honky tonk, but I haven't had a chance since he opened it. I haven't been to Nashville. So first time I get a chance, I'm going to get down there.
My favorite honky tonk, actually, well, if I can't narrow down to one, but I do like Roberts in the stage. I like the old country bars.
Okay.
But, you know, Garth Brooks, his new spot is phenomenal. Friends in Low Places. Jack Daniels actually dropped off something like 30 some odd engraved barrels for them while he was doing sound check for the opening. And I got to be a fly on the wall that day too. But his rooftop, they have palm trees coming out of whiskey barrels. I mean, you can't beat that. So
that's Morgan Wallen's is fairly new, right? I mean, it's only like maybe a couple years old.
Oh, not even that. No, he just opened that last year. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were just there not too long ago. We had a whole crew of people that went down, stayed at the Moxie right around the corner from, the Kid Rock place. And yeah, it was really cool. Went toward the city on little Lime scooters. You know, you ever do that? And like,
too dangerous. Too many of my friends have ended up in the hospital. So
very dangerous. Yeah. So like, you know, you're going through traffic on these things and everything, and you're like hoping that people don't run you down. But my son is an emergency room doctor, not in Nashville, in Charlotte, right? And he's like, and he did his residency in Texas, in Austin, Texas, where those scooters are everywhere, right? And he's like, yeah, the most common injury is a head injury from people falling off these scooters. It happens all the time.
The most unhinged scooter experience I ever witnessed was a mother with her baby in a Bjorn.
Oh, my gosh.
On a scooter on Broadway. And I had to look away because I was like, I don't know where this is going, but it can't be good. So
no, that's it's actually scary. You want to say, stop.
I guess the husband was behind her with a beer. She bring her on, you know?
right. So a couple of bourbon questions. Like last time you went somewhere that like an Italian restaurant or went on a wedding or something, and maybe they didn't have any good bourbon. You know, what did you drink instead?
So maybe it's not a surprise being a Tennessee girl, but Jack Daniels, I bleed Jack Daniels. I can sniff it out. I can taste it just saying the name. So a lot of folks that have kind of evolved their palate beyond the traditional old black label don't really prefer to go back to it. But for me, it kind of always feels like home. So my go-to order in any bar is going to be Jack and water, you know, because you got to hydrate while you dehydrate. And that kind of wakes my palate up. What's my whistle? Lets me know that I'm in for a good night. But beyond that, I'm always looking for kind of those, old faithful. So Four Roses, small batch, you can see that really pretty bottle up there. And that's a good go-to, or Elijah Craig, you know, I like to lean a little bit into that guy.
Yep.
Then all my days at Brown-Forman, Woodford still rings true for me too. So,
yeah, I was just out in Vegas last weekend and, I had some Jack Daniels 10-year-old, which was really nice. It was like, I mean, like, you know, like you say, like you evolve your palate over time or whatever. And it's like the old, you know, old number 7 black label, you know, it's like, okay, it's the base level stuff. It's kind of like, you know, if you go to Four Roses and you get their base level stuff, or you get the small batch or the small batch select, pay an extra $10 or whatever for it. You know, it's like, but it's actually better. It's actually good, you know, and like the 10-year-old Jack Daniels, I thought was fantastic.
I felt like I was drinking, sitting next to a bonfire is the best way to put it.
Right.
Like that breezy bonfire feel, and just had enough spice, It was awesome.
Right. Are you married? Any kids? Anything like that?
No, I'm happily divorced. I'm happily child-free. I have 2 rescue pit bulls. One's name is Jack. The other is Rye. So
nice.
I've got 2 nephews that are incredible. Yeah, that's just my career is my baby, maybe. I don't know.
Last time you went to a wedding, did anything go wrong? Anybody like, you know, anybody step on the bride's dress or anything like that?
Yeah. So the last wedding I went to, a very good friend of mine who's legacy bartender here in Nashville. Everybody knows her. Shorty Cordy. She's about just about this tall, you know. we, you know, we had a little open bar situation. We were all doing pulls from some whiskey bottles. And after they did the nuptials, we turned around and they had called in a tattoo artist. They had a tattoo, a flash tattooer there at the wedding.
Oh, man.
Having tattoos. And I got one because why not, you know? So that was the weirdest, coolest little wedding moment, I think.
That is pretty cool. Actually, you know what? I just, my wife said, oh, you know what? I just looked at this video from our wedding like eons ago and somebody stepped on my dress. She's like, "That you remember this guy?" I'm like, yeah, I remember that guy. He's like, yeah, I'm going down the aisle. He stepped on my dress. And I would go, I remember this now. Now that you're saying it, I remember it. And you shot him the nastiest look. Like, what are you doing? Yeah, like... He just stepped on my dress. Like, and oh, it's funny. I was like, oh, there you go, man. And we had a groomsman faint twice.
it was from like they say when your knees lock, was he just standing too? Yeah.
That's what it is. Yep. Yep. You do your knees lock up and you like getting no blood to your brain.
Well, as long as there's an open bar at a wedding, I think everybody's pretty happy. They can, you know, you can kind of look over those little mishaps.
Right. So. Exactly. And my daughter got married last year and, you know, she was very kind. She ordered a special bottle of Angel's Envy and had it put behind the bar. And so like, now this is for my dad. This is for the dad of the bride. So he's going to be the one. It wasn't a black tie affair, but I was wearing a tux. And of course, and like, so it's like the guy who comes up in a tux is that guy. So make sure you give him the good stuff.
Yeah. Well, the best thing that came out of my marriage was the wedding. We had four open bars, one of which was a do-it-yourself old-fashioned bar with all these allocated special whiskeys. And somehow, I've got something like 36 cousins. And somehow, my youngest cousin, I turn the corner and he's standing there taking a pull of Sinatra and chasing it with a Coca-Cola, which, by the way, I didn't serve at my wedding. So I don't know where he had to bring his own Coca-Cola. Right. And I was like, take that bottle out of that boy's hand. Well, hide that under my dress. Yeah.
What did your family say when you got into this? Speaking of family, what did they say when you kind of got into this business?
My father is a Southern Baptist deacon. And he's been sober since I was 5 or 6 years old. So it was difficult for them at first. They didn't understand, you know, why I had to wear the branded polo shirt when I was golfing with my daddy, or why my hat had to say something about whiskey. But eventually when I started giving him the really good golf balls and, some tickets to the Tights games and, right, you know, all the other perks that come with the industry, they started to understand that it's more than just the alcohol. It's the culture. It's the people you meet. It's the memories you make. So they've softened their shoulders through the years. My mama has been known to have a margarita with me from time to time, but.
Good deal. Good deal. So since your dad's a deacon, you believe in God?
That's a really interesting question. I like to say I'm coachable. I'm agnostic. I'm interested. I'm curious. I don't know if I believe in the formula, if you will, that most Americans do or Christians do, but I do believe in source and something greater and grander than myself. So,
well, if you could ask that source, that God, a bourbon question, what would you ask?
I'd actually just, I'd like to see the comedy in that. Like, obviously you knew we were going to make whiskey out of this corn, right?
Right. Absolutely. I mean, you know, if God invented corn and he invented, you know, everything that goes into a whiskey, yeah, then he obviously intended it to be invented by people, that we would all put all this together. Eventually, somebody's going to cook that corn, you know, and and ferment it with, you know, and the whole nine yards. So it's going to be great, you know, and it's like, well, you know, I like some of Morgan Wallen's like songs talk about that, you know, like, you know, well, God obviously intended this. He threw out, you know, an apple, you know, Adam and Eve, and then he made whiskey and then he made women.
Well, I mean, if right, we're supposed to be living in joy, we're supposed to be living in our bliss. of course, whiskey has got to be a part of that, you know?
Yeah, it does. Don't you think it kind of brings people together? I mean, I think whiskey is a great thing to be shared, and it's a lot of fun. So it lightens the mood and brings people together. Have you had any experiences like that?
Yeah. So I like to say when I'm giving a masterclass or running an event, people drink whiskey for three reasons, in my opinion. First is it tastes delicious. The second is it gives you the tipsy, the buzz. But then the third is there's something romantic about anything with history, legacy, a story to tell. And the storytelling, I think, is what really brings people together. And, you know, as far as the social application of it, this whole trend with CBD drinks and THC drinks and psilocybin drinks, it's all great in theory, but none of those things encourage the social element of interacting. Alcohol does. Alcohol encourages that social fun, that energy. So, right. You know, the pendulum swing is going to come right back to where it always does, which is I want to hang out with my friends and have a good time.
Right. And somebody said to me, I was interviewing somebody else, and they said, well, you know, everybody's favorite gift is still a bottle of bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
So that says a lot, right? I mean, like, if you're going to go out and get somebody a gift and you get them a bottle of bourbon, they're going to be happy.
Yeah. My collection, it was really hilarious. When I moved into my new house and I was renovating, the first thing I did was build the bar out. The kitchen, the bathroom, the windows, the roof, they all came after the bar was built out because right. I had to take care of my bottles, you know?
Absolutely. And tell me about that collection. How many do you got?
Oh, gosh. Oof. It would be hard to pinpoint. Probably over 400 bottles, at least.
Yeah. And have they all been opened?
No. So I have a rule at my house. If you stay to watch the dogs or come for a drink, anything on top of the bar, you can pour. But on the sides of the bar, anything on the shelves, that's a no-go, you know? So, and my mentor in the industry, John Hardaway, he had this rule of thumb, I guess. Always get three of something you love. One to keep, one to share, and one to give away. So some of those bottles that I have are the giveaway bottles. And that's when you find the right opportunity, to your point, to give that bottle that means something to somebody. At least I have it to give now. So,
right. Ah, that's perfect. Yeah, I love that. Actually, I've tasted a few craft whiskeys since I've been doing this podcast. People have sent me some craft whiskeys, and some of them are really good, like really good. And I'm like, I need to send this to somebody, you know? So like, I'll pick somebody out. Like, you need to try this too, because this is just a lot of fun and it's really delicious. So give it a shot, you know, see if you like it as much as I did, you know?
So I love that. A friend of mine, he's a collector, not just of spirits, not just of whiskey, but everything that goes along with it, you know, all the collectible signage and clothing and decanters and One night drinking with this guy, you're going to be drinking things you've never even heard of, you know, and it's hard to do that, to your point, than go to a bar where they only have three bottles behind the bar. So,
right. Yeah, I love that. I love trying stuff. I mean, I think everybody does in this, you know, everybody who's drinking bourbon is they're always trying something new. And it's there's so much out there. And that is sort of a problem in the industry right now, is there's too much out there. Right. I mean, everybody decided to make bourbon about, I don't know, 10 years ago. And now there's not enough shelf space for all of them.
I do bourbon blurbs to the staff here because we're part of a larger media group. We have American Songwriter magazine. And so there are not a lot of folks in the office that have the love for bourbon like I have. So I try to give them a little bit of nugget of information. And I was trying to define how much growth we've experienced since COVID in the whiskey industry. I did a little research, 256% growth. Shenanigans. That's, yeah. Now, you know, unless you have 10 years of history and millions of dollars, you're probably sourcing that juice all from the same place, right? So imagine the production at He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of that, but you know, one guy I met, he was making whiskey where he would go out and do a barrel select program, mm-hmm. and go to different distilleries and then find some barrels that he really wanted. And then he would source them when they were like maybe 6 years old, something like that. And then he would take them back to his place And then he would age them for a couple more years. And then he would send them someplace else and age them for a couple more years. And then bring them back and age them for a couple more years. By the time he was all done, they were like, you know, 12, 13, 14-year-old bottles. And really good. They were really good.
That sounds like a calculus problem.
It really does. Moving them all over the place. Yeah, exactly. It was a little bit of a calculus problem. But he didn't distill anything, but he made a really good, you know, product. And it's like, you know,
before the master distillers were the stars of the whiskey world, it was always the master blender. So that's all he's really doing is blending.
Right. Yep. Yeah. He's blending it together and making a really good product. And I thought his product was really great. I mean, I tried it out. And I was like, wow, this is really good. So pretty interesting. So, you know, if your life was made into a movie, which genre would it be? Would it be a Western, a drama, comedy?
Oh, gosh.
Where would
a lot of comedy in there. Yeah, I think it would probably be a comedy, but I think the setting would likely be in a different time altogether. Probably back pre-Prohibition, I would say.
Prohibition, okay. So like a comedy, but would it because of that time frame, would it be a Western?
I think it would probably be a little bit surrounding the industry of the spirits world, how it came up then. You know, maybe doing a little moonshining and maybe doing a little run-in of some whiskey and things like that. Yeah, there's a little bit rebellious streak in me. I think that would fit.
That would be pretty cool. A little moonshine story.
Yeah.
There's some good moonshine. I mean, Uncle Nearest. I mean, there's some good moonshine stories, right? Have you heard anything from them lately? I mean,
Friend of mine here in town is a local rep for them. And when I was working for Brown-Forman, we did a whole lot with Jack Daniel's and Uncle Nearest. So we're kind of lucky because it's just like an hour down the road. Okay. Their bar there, Humble Baron, is phenomenal. It's the longest bar in the world because of how they created the curves all the way through the room so that it's an endless bar.
Right.
And their program is really cool. They find really excellent ingredients so that you're still tasting the whiskey and the cocktails, which is really hard to do at a distillery. Most people want to go in there and get the whiskey sour or the Lynchburg lemonade, and it's just, you can't taste the whiskey, but there you can. So they're doing a really cool job.
All right. Oh, that's good. That's good to hear. I'm glad they had some financial difficulties, I think, right?
Yeah. So there, yeah, a lot of buzzing going on right now. Everybody's like rumor milling right now about what Fawn's going to do. But you know, I've met her, and I think that she's full of grace, knowledge, enthusiasm, and her heart's in the right place. So I'm sure they'll figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of goes back to my comment about the industry, like just being oversupplied, you know, of the different brands. There's just so many out there. And, you know, it's like, I even know people who were like trying to distill their own stuff. And I'm just like, this isn't going to work.
You know. Wrap your arms around a brand you love and help grow it into something more meaningful is what my hope would be, you know?
Yeah.
But that's back in the day, I thought I was going to end up being a master distiller somewhere. But I liked to sell the whiskey too much and to convince people how cool it is. So.
Right. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, having a female master distiller, I think is a good idea because I was at, I was touring Woodford or whatever. And I always ask people about their tasting panel, you know, I'm like, you know, who makes up your tasting panel? And I started seeing trends that there were a lot of women. And I'm like, there's probably more women on tasting panels proportionally, like 50, 55, 60% than drinkers. Like there's probably less than half, less, you know, maybe 80% of the drinkers might be men and 20% might be women. So I'm like, why is this happening? Are women better at this than men?
There's science behind it. A woman's palate lasts longer than a man's does. They say that could just be because men tend to eat spicier foods or et cetera. But yeah, a woman's palate lasts longer. So if you want somebody on your panel that's going to really be consistently tasting for you for a long amount of time, it's probably the better bet to get a female master taster. And women can pick up on different, more subtle flavor profiles in general. So.
I think they're good at the nose. They smell it and they really pick up you know, a lot more than it takes a bit more work for us guys to like get in there and be like, okay, I smell more than just vanilla and caramel. You know, it's like I'm getting some orange peel and this and that, you know, all this other kind of stuff.
I like to tell people, let your memory take you there. And if it sounds crazy at first, just follow the rabbit. So like sometimes you're smelling something and you're like, oh God, that smells like a Marlboro Red. Let your mind take you there. Now, what does a Marlboro Red actually smell like? Now, what are you really smelling? Follow the rabbit, you know?
Right. Follow the rabbit. That's good. That's good. That's good. All right. So how about some introspective questions?
Okay.
If your personality was a bourbon, what would be the tasting notes?
I would be high rye.
All right. A little spicy.
Yeah. I'd be at least 35% rye. I'd be aged. I think anything over 15 years can get a little flabby. So I'd probably be around a 12-year-old. I definitely wouldn't have small batch or handcrafted on my label because that doesn't mean shit. I'd probably be a single barrel for sure.
And you would be a selected, you know, master distiller selected, right?
Yeah. I'd be a barrel somebody picked out themselves. And yeah, I think I'd probably be over 110 proof at least.
And if your bourbon journey was more like a road trip and you were, you know, crossing the country, you know, what song would be playing?
That's a real good one. There's an artist that I love, Jenny Teeter. She sings a lot about whiskey. And her newest album has 4 or 5 back. I'd probably just put that album in and just roll because it's all about being a powerful woman, drinking whiskey.
Love it.
Yeah.
And when you get to the end of this journey and you belly up to the bar, mm-hmm. What's your order?
No. Jack Daniel's single barrel, ideally single barrel rye. But if they ain't got it, I got it. Two Little Baby Rocks. And a water neat.
I like the Two Little Baby Rocks. I've done that, and I've often thought to myself, they must think I'm crazy. I'm like, I was just, like I said, I was just in Vegas, and I was like, I want one small rock. That's it. Just one.
Otherwise, they give you that big, giant rock.
Yeah.
And I almost, every time they do that, I just hand it right back to them. Just put the next whiskey on top of that same rock. Let's get her down there.
Right. We got to wear this thing down. Right. Right. So if your biography was a Netflix special, there's a lot of those out there these days. Everybody's got a biography on Netflix. Who would be your narrator? Who would you want to be your narrator?
Charlize Theron.
Oh, okay. Who's Charlie?
Charlize Theron.
Charlize. Yes.
I like her tenor of her voice, that deeper kind of articulate, you know.
I like a deep voice too. I would pick like Sam Elliott. I love his voice. Mm-hmm. Like for a man, he's like, you know, tough guy. Sounds like, you know, I can't even imitate it. It's so low and baritone. It's like it's a fabulous voice. Just love that.
Well, I have to have Jeff Goldblum in there a couple of times. His voice and like his banter is phenomenal. So.
Cool. And one last question I have for you is like in baseball. I don't know, you watch any baseball?
I'm kind of a hockey girl, but I know.
Oh, all right, hockey girl. All right. So there's not a similar thing in hockey because they don't really have breaks in the action very often.
That's true. Unless there is a brawl.
Right. Unless there's blood on the ice. But in baseball, they typically have this like little walk-up song. So when you enter a room, if your walk-up song could be playing, what would that be?
You're probably gonna have to edit this piece out, but there's a band called Strung Like a Horse. And the song is Fuck What They Think. Fuck What They Think. It's like, be who you are, and people can take you or leave you, but just, yeah.
Yeah, be who you are. I love that. That's great. I love that. I think I would go for something like, you know, like really upbeat, like Van Halen Panama or something like that. Something like crazy. I mean, let's go.
Well, I mean, you could always throw some Nickelback in there. I mean, Metallica, absolutely.
Sure, sure. Something that dude pumps you up, like, let's go.
Yeah, King Nothing, Metallica would feel free.
Yeah, Metallica would do the trick. Little Van Halen, little AC/DC, something like that.
Well, growing up, you know, my folks were so strict. I didn't even discover what Lynyrd Skynyrd was until I was like 19 years old.
Oh, wow.
I got a late start on the music world, you know.
Well, yeah, it's all there to discover, you know, and even a late start on the bourbon world. I got a late start on the bourbon world. I didn't even start down this road until, I don't even know, 50?
What?
Yeah.
So what was your drink before whiskey was your drink?
So I would say early in life, it was beer.
Okay.
Tried all the different beers. Then it became like probably around 30, it became wine. And so we did trips out to Napa and stuff like that and like joined all these wine clubs and they're still sending us even now. They're sending us these great bottles of wine for very reasonable prices. That's something maybe the whiskey world could learn. Like you go to like a, you know, I've been to all the places in Kentucky and they don't really offer that as a service. Maybe there's laws against it. And then there probably are in some states, but a lot of them can ship stuff to you. Like join your club. Start a club and like, hey, every month ship me one of your unusual top-notch whiskeys, which are, you know, maybe not so easy to get at Total Wine or someplace like that. It's really easy to do. The wine world really has that nail.
Well, we're taking a trip, a Bourbon Plus trip to the company distillery next month to hang out with Jeff Arnett and get the real inside story on him leaving Jack Daniels and how all that happened. But while I'm there, I can ask him, have you thought about doing this like a club? You know, he'd be open to it. Have you met him before?
I haven't. No.
He's a fun dude. I'll tell you that. I love hanging out with Jeff.
Yeah. Ask him what he thinks about that, because I would sign up. I've been to all these different places and nobody ever asked me to sign up for anything. Nobody ever offered to ship me any of their allocated bottles, you know, or anything like that. Like, why do I have to go?
Clientele, built-in bottle sales, basically.
Yeah, it is. It's built-in bottle sales. You know you're going to be shipping those out every single month, you know?
A lot of those guys, they won't even sell you an allocated bottle unless you're present on property.
Right. So,
you know, back in the day, I would have to drive to Louisville to get to Old Forester before they opened. So then I could drive to Woodford. So then I could turn around, drive home. It was just... Those days are over.
How long does it take from Nashville? Is it probably like 6 hours at least, right?
Well, it's about 3 hours to get there to Louisville proper. And that's about another 45 minutes past that to get to Woodford.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Yeah. We're in Pennsylvania. So we're more on the Philadelphia side. So yeah, we love the Eagles and all that sort of stuff. Football is great. Flyers fan, big time Flyers fan. Broken my heart.
Let me hear.
Broken my heart a million times. Oh my gosh. Been 1975 since they won anything.
It's a true fan.
That's an entire lifetime, right? You know? Like,
oh, that was the Titans right now. I mean, we haven't had a good game since I had to look away from the season last year. I just couldn't even.
Nashville's been pretty decent. They've been a decent team, though.
Yeah, well, right? the last few years, they've just done so much trading, and they can't get their rhythm. And I think it was the moment they decided to build a new stadium. The focus kind of went on the new build and not the team itself, you know?
Right.
But
you and I are probably two of the bigger hockey fans around. I don't think we're going to find too many. I mean, there are hockey fans, but just they're vastly outnumbered by football, basketball, baseball fans, and even soccer fans now. Totally outnumber hockey fans.
Well, our season tickets were right behind the home goal, right where the team would come out. So I was the nerd that was in my seat 20 minutes early, ready to see them come out.
Right. Who was your favorite player on the team? Do you have any?
Tutu.
Yeah.
Just because I spent so much time sitting behind the goal.
Yeah.
The net. And just the way he interacted with the team and his camaraderie and how nice he was to the fans and just you know, I thought it was wonderful.
Did you ever play any as a kid?
Rollerblading. Yeah, we played roller hockey. We had the glow-in-the-dark roller blades. They had just come out with lightning bolts. Funny story on the side. And my brother would never let me score, ever. So he was not the brother that would win.
He was the younger brother. So my brother would be like, hey, Randy, let's go play hockey. And so we'd go play hockey and like, you know, it's like, all right, you're the goalie. And he'd throw the pads at me and like, okay, I'll be the goalie. You know, so I was always a goalie most of the time. Yeah, it wasn't really fair. You know, I'm like, all right, you be the goalie. No, I don't want to be the goalie. You're the goalie. So
but that was the legal way to beat you up, right?
Yeah, it is. Right. Exactly. What can you complain about? Right. You agreed to this. So. It is a legal way. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's just a nice 20-30 minute chat. We've been very blessed and very happy to have Misty Blue Stewart with us from Bourbon Plus. And very excited to hear about all the things that you're doing and what's coming up. So keep us informed. And we love all of this. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're launching our YouTube channel. So we're going to take our shot at what you're doing here and kind of do a hybridized blind tasting panel podcast setting, which is really cool. And then all kinds of inside stuff. So behind the scenes, and it's pretty exciting.
Blind tasting is tough.
Well, so I hosted, right? So I get to host these groups, and I have found this amazing panel. Chefs, master tasters, distillers, industry pros, mixologists, and I randomly shuffle them up, and then I find a vague category. So one of them was called the malt shop. So they have to infer, is this all malted whiskey? Is it all sweet whiskey? So they don't really even get the specific category. And then from there, they got to work. What do you think the mash bill? What do you think the age? What do you think the proof? And then it's so cool and it's so much fun. And then the reveal is just like, you know, that's a lot of fun.
It seems fairly easy to trick people. I can trick myself. I can buy four bottles and put them behind a thing and pour them out and shuffle them all around. And I'm like, man, that's definitely Basil Hayden's. This is definitely Angel's Envy. This is definitely Four Roses and whatever. And it's like, and then you're like, I only got two of them right, you know, or whatever. And like, daggone it. It's tough.
We had an artist in here doing an interview for American Songwriter, and his whiskey, he did a wine tasting with his whiskey and a different whiskey, and he got his own wrong. And that, what I love about that is like, it's an equalizer. No matter how good or professional you are, you're going to make mistakes. And that's why it's fun, you know?
Right, right. And it's fun. You're right. It's like, it's fun to just be like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. You know, it's like so cool. Yeah. It's a good time. Yeah. Good thing to do.
It's playful and you're learning something and you're, you know,
yeah,
and you're cool. Drinking. So
absolutely. How can that be a bad thing? So. Well, all right. Well, thank you very much, Misty.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right. Have a good day. All right, Whiskey Shenanigans fans. We are here again to talk about the crazy stuff that went on this weekend in the sports world. All right. NFL. We love the NFL. So let's talk about it. The Texans managed a massive comeback against who are they? The Jaguars, 36-29. They were getting killed. And I'm thinking, I didn't watch that game, but I'm thinking, are you kidding me, Jaguars? You had a huge lead and you just blew it. And this is what I call, I don't know what happened, but I'm going to guess, turtling. This is what you call turtling. This is what happens when you have a lead and your coaches go into the prevent defense, which prevents nothing. Actually, the one thing it does prevent is it prevents you from winning. So I think the NFL ought to throw the prevent defense completely out the window. It does not work. The only time that's going to work is when the other team clearly doesn't have enough time to implement the comeback. But you can't count on that, man. Things happen. So anyway, Texans massive comeback. Buffalo What is wrong with Buffalo? Okay, they lose to the lowly Miami Dolphins, struggling with a 1-5 record. I mean, they got blown out. It's been a while. It's been a minute, as they say, since Buffalo lost to Miami. Really terrible. Really terrible for Buffalo. I mean, I think, wasn't it last week Buffalo played Kansas City? It might have been last week. But either way, they beat Kansas City. Tough team. And then they go and they get beat by Miami. Like, are you serious? Okay. Jonathan Taylor, best running back in football. Pretty much no doubt about it. I mean, the guy pulled off 244 yards and 3 touchdowns in an overtime win for the Colts over the Falcons. What a day. I mean, that dude is having a time this year. So that's amazing. But all that is amazing and incredible. Whiskey Shenanigans fans, the Jets won another football game. Now, listen, you got to start thinking I'm like rooting for the Jets, but I am not rooting for the Jets. I'm definitely not rooting for the Jets, but they won another football game. Are you kidding me? I think special teams had 2 touchdowns. And if I were going to give the Jets something special, this is what I would give the Jets. This is a rare character, single barrel series, dog fun on the beach, selected by Blackwell's, Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey, 122 proof, cask strength. I can't wait to crack this bad boy open and toast to the Jets. I wish I could say for the same for the Steelers. Oh, my. Oh, my. I'm a huge Steelers fan. I couldn't even watch the end of that game. I was so disgusted. I mean, Rodgers had a bad game. Let's just face it. I mean, every opportunity he had to turn things around, to make a play, most of them were his fault. He overthrew it, underthrew it, whatever. Ball was not on target. Now, that last one to Calvin Austin, sure, okay, hit him in the hands. Calvin's got to catch that. But, you know, come on. I mean, so many opportunities. Steelers, you do not get a dram of my widow Jane. I am sorry. You can't have it. You didn't earn it. TJ had a better game than he has been having. Haywood, really good. I mean, there were some positive moments for the Steelers, but I mean, I turned it off with like 5 minutes left, and they had only scored 3 points in the whole game. Like, really? 3 points? What the heck, man? Like, last week, they beat the Colts, which are supposedly a good team, but they're really not. They're secretly a bad team. Just letting you know, the Colts and that. For that, I get the dram of Widow Jane, because that's a hot take. A lot of the NFL is saying, oh, Colts are great. Colts are great. I think they're 8-2. They're not great. The Colts are not great. They're not playing anybody. Give me a break. Colts are way overhyped. They may be a good team, but I'm just saying they're overhyped. They're not going anywhere in the playoffs. Buffalo's going to get their you-know-what together. Kansas City's going to get their you-know-what together. And it's going to be, and maybe the Ravens. The Ravens are coming on. So Steelers better watch out. They're not in good shape. I mean, you had a huge lead and you've managed to lose three in a row. No, not lose three in a row, but you've managed to lose a bunch of games recently. So it's not going to go well for you, Steelers. You are not going to win the NFC North. The Ravens are going to win the NFC North again. And I'm not giving the Ravens a drink of my Widow Jane. And I am not giving the Ravens a drink of my rare character. I'm not giving the Ravens anything because I hate their guts. But that is some of the most exciting and some of those craziest stuff. Jets. Some of the crazy stuff that went on in sports this past. And tonight we got the Eagles playing. So, hey, Eagles are a good football team, ladies and gentlemen. They're a good football team. And here in Philadelphia area, we're loving the Eagles. So maybe I can't root for my Steelers because they're so stinking mediocre that it's just, it pains my heart. But at least we got something. We got a second choice here. We got the Eagles, and they're really good. So I'm going all Eagles tonight. Hope they win. Thanks, everybody. Well, Whiskey Shenanigans fans, thanks for joining us this week. We'll have another episode coming out in 2 weeks, and we're going to get that regular two-week cadence going, and you can always look forward to one every other week. So thanks again, and here's a clip from our next episode.
Where did the name Whiskey Noobs come from?
Yeah, so a little ways along that journey, I got to where I really wanted a podcast to listen to help get me into it. So I've always been the type of person where, like, I find new hobbies, new groups of people, especially the ones that get like cult followings, I find them really intimidating. And I'm like, I don't want to, you know, I'm scared to go to a bar and order whiskey neat. And with cigars, I'm scared to go to a lounge because those people all know each other. And so I thought, well, I want to come up with a podcast for people like me where you're like scared, you want to know the basics, you want to feel confident talking about it. And so I started listening to some, and there are some phenomenal podcasts out there. At the time, it was significantly less saturated, and there were really good ones that weren't doing exactly what I wanted. They weren't really fitting that, what I just described.